All right, Andrew. Andrew, where'd you grow up? Where are you from originally?
Originally, I'm from Kingston, New York. Basically 45 minutes south of Albany, 90 miles north of New York City.
Tell me about your family growing up.
My parents are still together. It was a great childhood. I have an older brother who's 5 years older than me. I loved being the youngest. I got to learn a lot from my brother, seeing what he did. A lot of things that he was into kind of trickled down to me and definitely gave me a framework for growing up and for becoming a teenager and so forth.
Does that include the football?
No, he got my dad's body. He got more of the runner's body. I got more of the thick side of that deal.
And you eventually got drafted by the Detroit Lions?
Yeah, so I didn't get drafted. I signed a contract with them as a free agent. So I didn't get drafted, but I got signed to a contract after the draft.
But was that your hope and dream to become a?
Oh, totally, totally. It was a dream come true. My experience, I was with the Detroit Lions for probably a month and a half, and I eventually got released. But you know, walking into that facility and into the locker room and seeing all the guys who I watched growing up play. The first guy I met was a guy named Dante Culpepper, who I watched play for the Minnesota Vikings when I was 12, 13 years old, and it was really an incredible surreal experience.
How much effort, work, dedication did it take for you to end up in that position?
Everything takes hard work, you know, hard work and discipline.
You were good in high school?
I was pretty good in high school. I played in college. I moved to the defensive side of the ball. I moved to linebacker. In high school, I played predominantly quarterback. So that the recruiting process was kind of an interesting experience for me, because when I was like a junior, I was getting recruited by big time schools, Boston College, Wisconsin. Coaches coming in to talk to me. And so I'm thinking, oh, you know, I got a shot to go big time D1. And as the recruiting process kind of progressed, a lot of those big schools kind of dropped out. And so my senior year, I didn't have any scholarship offers. And that was my main thing. Like, I wanted to be able to go to school for free and to play football for an education. At the last minute, the University of Maine came to visit the school, and I met some coaches, and they brought me up for a visit. And during that visit, they offered me a full scholarship, which, you know, I didn't have anything else, so I had to take that.
That's great.
And they were kind of up in the air. They didn't know if they wanted me to play quarterback or they wanted me to play defense, but they eventually asked me to play defense, which I was totally fine with.
And you were in the Lions system for how long?
About a month and a half.
About a month and a half.
Yeah.
Then tell me what happened after that.
So, you know, I was kind of bottom of the barrel, coming from a small school. I remember they had 13 linebackers, and I believe they only kept 5 or 6. They spent one of their draft picks on a linebacker, so I'm like, all right, he's going to be on the team. And there were a bunch of veteran players who were also in that group. So in the back of my mind, I was kind of like, eh, you know, this may run its course. But, you know, I tried to make the team and eventually got released. So I went home. I went back to New York. My agent was trying to, you know, talk to other teams. The Canadian Football League was another option. And then that's when the accident happened.
Tell us about that.
Yeah, so there's a place in upstate New York called Catterskill Falls. It's a gorgeous waterfall. It's a double waterfall. It's about 260 feet. The top one is 175, and the bottom one is, you know, 90 or 80. And we used to go up there. I didn't really learn about it until college. I never went there in high school. But my brother and my buddies, we would all go up there, and it's a beautiful place. It's a very sacred place, and you know, you do a little half mile walk up through the woods, and it appears, and it's a beautiful sight. And you can climb up the left side and come down the right side. It was kind of like a not really a beaten path, but it wasn't too dangerous. I've done that hike with little kids before, so it didn't pose too much of a danger. And I'd done it probably 10 times. But July 10th, 2009, I woke up at my buddy's house in New Paltz, New York. And, at that time, I had left Detroit, and I'm just, keeping my body in shape and staying in shape. And we decided to go up. So we did the hike. And on the way down, there was kind of like a switchback. And instead of just walking the extra 20 feet to get around the switchback, I decided to kind of like get on my butt and slide down to the next trail, which maybe was 5-10 feet. It wasn't like, I was jumping 20 feet or anything. And I ended up basically slipping, and I kind of hit my head, and I didn't get knocked out because I remember the adrenaline rush, and I remember, putting my arms out and trying to grab, vegetation, try to grab onto something, and all I could feel was all the roots, because it's rocky up there, all the roots coming out, and, I was a big guy, It didn't hold me, so I kept falling, and I fell off probably like a 10-foot lip of the side of the mountain, and then kept going, and then I fell off a much larger, cliff part of the side of the mountain. Talking to my buddy's, watched it happen, and he said at one point, kind of like when a baseball player slides in the second and his feet catch and he stands up. As I was sliding, my feet caught and I turned basically to him and fell backwards, off the cliff or off the side of the mountain.
And how far was the fall?
I would say probably in total, probably 100 plus feet. It wasn't a straight fall. It wasn't a straight, right to the ground. It was kind of bouncing down the side of the mountain,
So it was mostly rock or it was dirt or both?
Yeah, so I slipped on a rock, but as I'm falling, it's kind of like loose shale, shale. And so it's the ground is basically falling with me, like all the rocks and vegetation and everything.
And in the photo that I'll include here, you fell to what we're looking at is the right of the waterfall.
Yeah. Yeah. So if you think about like the horseshoe, kind of like on the right side falling this, so the waterfall is on my right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oof. Yeah. Yeah. And, when I hit the ground, I was kind of knocked out, and I had two experiences, that were kind of, mystical or whatever you want to say. But one of them was my point of view was in the sky. And I remember seeing like the tops of the trees and looking up at the blue skies, I could see what looked to be like, if you think of like a tornado forming and you flipped them on their sides, but it was light and they were kind of whipping, back and forth. They looked like two whips of light. And they met and then was redirected in my direction. Like, it was almost like violent light. And all I could feel was complete love, forgiveness. There was an essence of of like seeing an old friend or coming home. There was also this sensation of like if you've ever seen two little kids fight over something trivial, you don't get emotionally invested. It's like, oh, you're fighting about a cookie or something. What I felt was kind of like, not a voice, but like this message of like, oh, you guys down there, like with your violence and you're treating each other bad and you're lying, like that, you guys do that down there. Up here, there's none of that. It was pure love. Like it sounds cliche, but it was just pure love.
And it was like you realize you might be dying here.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And the other experience was I felt like I was on. It felt like I was in an interrogation room, almost like a very dark room, and I was laying down. And whatever you want to call them, spirits or guardian angels, or there was three of them. And two of them were kind of like off in the background. And it seemed like they were kind of like weeping, like they were crying. And the other one, which seemed a little more stoic, I didn't hear this, but I could feel it. They were just like, hey, this has to happen. Like, we're going to get you through this as easy as possible and as painless as possible, but this has to happen. And then at that point...
What is this? The accident?
The accident.
Yeah.
The accident, yeah. And when I opened my eyes on the ground, you know, if you've ever played Call of Duty, the stun grenades where your vision kind of is going wild and it comes into focus. I remember opening my eyes and everything was kind of... And I remember looking at my hand and being like, and like legitimately asking myself, like, am I alive? And, you know, I looked at my hand and I eventually got up. And at that point is when my buddy Kevin came down and did the whole, are you okay? And yeah, yeah.
So that's like a near-death experience you experienced, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. It's unexplainable, but I those two experiences I vividly remember.
And how has this changed your life since it happened? Do you treat people differently? Do you see things differently?
I don't think I treat people too much differently. Like I mentioned earlier, I just after the fact, I had a resurgence of like love and appreciation for my family and for you know, my brother and all my friends. And I think it just you know, we're all kind of we're all in the same boat here, trying to live and dealing with you know, whether it be not mental illness, but you know, dealing with life day to day and trying to get through. You know, life's hard enough and we can make it easier for each other, being better people for each other, you know.
That's great. Yeah. What's the aftermath of that?
So my injuries were, I had a shattered right shoulder. I tore my ACL, which I didn't find out for about a year after that. Had a cracked pelvis. I had a collapsed lung. And I broke my C1 and C2 vertebrae.
You can kiss football goodbye.
Yeah, I actually, the doctors actually cleared me eventually, but that was it. That was it. I can't come back from that and play, especially at that level. You can't play at that level.
Could you even walk after the fall like that?
So what I remember is when I kind of came to, my buddy Kevin, you know, he watched me fall, then he had to walk about another 10, 15 minutes down. So he didn't know what to expect. He didn't know if I was alive. He didn't know if I was dead. And what I remember was I kind of woke up and I stood up and he said, yo, are you all right? And I said, yeah, like, what happened? And he said, you fell from up there. And I just laid back down on the ground. And luckily there was a doctor there. There was a doctor who was hiking. And I wasn't submerged in water, but I was kind of in some water because the waterfall. And he kind of dragged me out. And, you know, he has direct line to paramedics. And so he made a couple calls. And the paramedics were on their way. They walked. They did the hike, the half-mile hike through the woods. And they were kind of debating, you know, can we take him out of here? Because, you know, I'm 230 pounds and, you know, they got six guys, but the terrain is kind of all over the place. So taking somebody who had a broken neck or who, you know, was in shock was kind of a decision they had to, you know, be sensitive to. And so what they ended up doing was bringing they airlifted me out of there. And Catterskill Falls is it's kind of like a horseshoe, right? Like it's there's forest and then there's a horseshoe. Which is the waterfall, the it's kind of cut out. And so they brought the helicopter in and they airlifted me out of there. Yeah.
And the surgeries?
So the only surgery I had was actually in the helicopter, which was for the collapsed lung. And I remember they told me, they said, hey, your lung's collapsed and you have to, you know, we have to fix this right now. And I was in shock. Like I didn't feel anything, but you know, they jabbed me or cut me open, whatever. And put the, I think they put like a straw basically in to kind of re-inflate the lung. And afterwards when I had doctor's appointments, you know, my mom was like, hey, you know, how, like what happened to him to make him break his neck? And, this always trips me out, but, the doctor said, if you weren't as beefy and as in good a shape as you were, your organs would have just exploded on impact. And the other thing he said was, for you to break your neck like that, your forehead had to have touched your chest. Oh, so whenever I tell this story to people, I just say, try to put your forehead to your chest. It's not happening. So it was. Hearing that was wild to hear that. It was wild to hear that that's what my body had gone through.
You don't remember the fall?
I just remember the adrenaline rush, and I remember grabbing on the things, and I remember opening my eyes right before I hit the ground, and I'll show you afterwards my hip. There's like a piece of my hip missing, and so when I cycle my leg, you can kind of feel. There's kind of like something missing right there. Wow. But yeah, the hitting the ground was, oh, it was, talk about blunt force trauma. It was rough. It was rough.
What was your recovery like?
Another, you know, wild part of the story is, I had yet to finish my degree at UMaine, and so this was in July. This was July 10th. So school starts at the end of August. And 56 days after the accident, I was driving back up to school by myself to go finish my degree.
You're tough.
56 days.
You're a tough mofo.
It was, yeah. Yeah, it was incredible. I've had sprained ankles that take longer to heal than those injuries.
What was going through your head when you were realizing that you ended your football career, which was kind of maybe ending anyway,
yeah,
on its own, but like it just affects your whole life, doesn't it?
Yeah. I mean, you know, some people after the fact voiced to me like, oh, we didn't know how you'd recover mentally, like with football being taken away from you. But I would say since I've known about that place, probably two or three people die there a year.
Really?
Yeah. And they built a like infrastructure, like, you know, viewing points and stairs and all that. But before that, there was nothing there. And so I knew, I've heard of people falling from the lower waterfall and passing away. And so to fall from where I fell from, I knew that I got extremely lucky. And so with that, I was happy just to be alive, you know, let alone football. I mean, yeah, it stunk. I wanted to make some money from it. I love the game, but I knew that there could have been a much greater price to pay.
Yeah.
For sure.
And it was just a bad decision to take a little shortcut that you did?
Completely bad decision. And you know, I can laugh about this now, but I remember leaving my buddy Kevin's house and a pair of shoes and a pair of leather sandals. And I said, I've done this before. Let me put the sandals on.
You were wearing sandals?
I was in sandals. Bad decision. Very bad decision. But like I said, I've done that hike with little kids and it was really just a freak accident.
And so what are you doing with your life now?
I work at a private school up near Stanford, in Portola Valley. We have a boarding program. I work in the boarding program. I teach a little bit and, coach sports, coach football, middle school basketball.
Oh, great.
Those good things. Yeah. Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Do you have any regrets looking back at this whole situation?
No, not at all.
This is just one of those freak accidents that happens.
Yeah. I mean, you know, when you come that close to death, I mean, it's hard to have any regrets. I mean, of course, you know, I could have been more careful and I would love to have pursued my football career, but afterwards, I was just happy to be alive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Andrew, what would you say is the most important thing you learned after all of this?
You know, afterwards, I could feel just an appreciation for my brother, for my family, for my friends, being good to people, being understanding of other people, and just having a love to be alive, a love for life.
There could be a gift in all this.
Exactly. Totally. Totally.
It's a great story. Yeah. All right, Andrew. Well, good luck with whatever you end up doing with your life now, and thank you for sharing your story.
Of course, man.
All right,
of course.
Thank you.
Yeah.